Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Celtic Now and for our podcast. My name is Ryan Clifford. Well, it's the first big game of the season, Robert. Robert Ball is with me again this week. Robert, how's your nerves, mate, for the game tomorrow?
Not very confident, Ryan. I would like to be, but just season after season, we're getting very unprepared, and this is probably the worst Celtic team on paper I've seen in a good 20 years. Where do you start and where do you finish with it? The manager's picked him out today and said that he's no happy how dealings are happening. The squad's thin, very thin in a lot of fronts. Really, where do you go with it, Ryan? I don't know. Obviously, the manager's trying his best to get players in and identify players and maybe the scouting staff, and the deals just take forever, don't they? They just don't seem to be. Most clubs go about their business and get deals done. We just seem to be the slowest club in Europe to get a deal done. I don't know if it's agents that are holding it up or money or what. I don't know, but it's shambolic getting into a Champions League qualifier with such a Fred's bare skin team tomorrow.
As we've spoken about in the podcast before, and a lot of people have spoken about it, have come on, and every year, we're always no prepared. It's always either beat on at the back with a young guy or it's two fringe players. It's never your two front men at the back or your two front men at the front or your two middles. It's always a scattered midfield, scattered defence, scattered full team, injuries. Last year it was fucking out of place as well. Every year, as you say, we gamble in signings. We wait until we try and qualify first and then we sign players. It's just, as you say, his deal's getting done. The manager's highlighted they want to put us in. They've not come in yet. And he's like, how the fuck's this not happening? Even he, you can tell now, he's getting frustrated. And he's probably, he's feeling the brunt of what we felt last season and the year before it. He's like, we can tell he's not a yes man because he's come out and he's front of the board. We need players. Why is it not getting done? I'm stuck with players I don't want. And he's probably got to put them more, i.e., as we say, we're never going to slaughter guys because of professional football players, but guys like Ralston shouldn't be at Celtic. No good enough. Shouldn't he be in the B team? Shouldn't he beat Celtic? End of. He could be a good player at maybe a championship level or Dundee or something, whatever. But for me, Celtic, no chance. Again, Stephen Welsh, what a day for tomorrow. He'll need a day. Beat on, centre-back. He's no defender. Taylor, Bolly, the defence is... Barkas, I think, might come good, but the actual defence, Julian's injured. It's an absolute joke, isn't it?
Julian's been registered in the Champions
League. I've seen that, but can he play?
And he's at T-Work.
September?
September, October, I reckon. That tells you how desperate the board seem to be. Like they're no willing to gamble to spend a bit of money to try and progress in Europe. To me, that's the way it seems. I don't know if they're maybe waiting on the money coming in for Ayer and maybe money coming in for, say, Edward and Christie. I mean, I don't really know, but we've already took 30.4 million, I think, in transfer. And up to now, we've spent roughly, including the Swedish centre-half, about 10, 11 million, I reckon, around about that. So, surely, even spend half of the 30 million, 15, and then maybe wait till Edward gets sold or Christie and then start spending, but we've not spent half the money yet, so it's baffling. The season book sales has went through as well, so I don't know. It's very, very baffling. But it's Celtic, we take it every year. And I just feel sorry for the manager, to be quite frank. I feel the manager has been kind of a given the job, but his hands are tied behind his back. There's an anchor attached to his feet and asking him to swim. Feel sorry for him. He's been given coaching team again, which we've already discussed before. Shouldn't have been anywhere near Celtic because they've been there last season and failed, and it should have been just a clean slate. Is this maybe why Eddie Howe then decided he wasn't wanting a Celtic job, because he knew the funds weren't available and he wasn't getting his own coaching staff? We don't know, do we?
Because then again, you're talking about the funds. Fans will say either spending money in the defender, or we're going to spend money in, we'll spend money in the Israeli winger, blah, blah, blah. But it's no money in Celtic's pocket. It's money they're recycling again. It's no money like Des has went, right, there's 20 million or 30 million, go and get into Europe next year. That's not happening. It's money that's getting recycled every year. As you say, season books. Again, we could go back into our lockdown in a few months. We can get more restrictions, but fans are still paying their £600 or £700. They're buying their training gear, they're buying the strip. So right away, you're getting all that money. Plus, as you say, you've had the Frimpong deal for January, Mohamed. That's all still in the melting pot. I know there's COVID money and that's still to come into play, but there's money there. So as you say, as Anne's come in, like, right, so where's the money? I've come in, I've told you what I want. How's it not happening? As you say, players are getting sold and bought for whatever within 3 or 4 days, and then they're signed. And because the day you see him, the day he's press conference, he looks so frustrated. He's like, well, it's a miracle card, basically. That's what he says. He says that journalist says to him, right, do you think you'll get two guys in for basically the deadline tonight? And he's like, nah, it's not a wild card, it's a miracle card. And McGregor just laughed at him. So he knows that something's not right. A miracle card, and that's a guy who's just come out the door. So, as he says, there should have been a clear out if he tapped the bottom. If it was, a lot of fans are moaning about Lawwell. How's he still there? And we've said before, Lawwell's always going to be there because he's part of the SFA and he's part of the European Work Board and that. So he's going to be at a club in Scotland. If he's no, then he can't be up with the SFA and he can't be in the board. So he was always going to have some capacity role. And I don't like the fact that he's still there because he's still a part of it. He might still have a word. And like you say, I seen a hang the day in the paper, actually. I didn't read it. It was a headline of Shope that somebody says that Don McKay is basically going to be like David Moyes at Man United, basically just maybe the right guy at the right time under the right conditions. And I think the two of them have got the hand ties because everything's just, you're thinking the rebuild's going to do well, we've signed these guys, but you're thinking you're going to get a massive game. For me, it's the biggest game of the season so far. I know it's just started, but right away, if you lose this against Ferencvaros last season, your season just went right downhill and it could happen again this season.
The only saving grace is Mitchell and get a bit of problems herself. Their star striker's refusing to play. He wants sold, and I think 3 or 4 of their players are not going to be there anymore. Their midfielder is looking for a move as well. One of the players has refused to come back. He's sold, I know. So they've got a bit of trouble, which is probably only saving grace. But do they, say for instance, you get through the tie, do the board go, oh, they've got a good enough squad to go and then beat PSV or Galatasaray? You know, this is the problem. You know what I mean? Are they just saying, we're spending that because we know we're not going to make a Champions League and that's all we're willing to spend? I don't know. You know what I mean? It's just, there's areas in the team, as you say to yourself, Ryan, it's like right back, left back. I reckon we still need a defensive midfielder, a guy of a Wanyama type that's very strong, and I think we need ballpoint centre-half. So I reckon you could probably say need a back four, a defensive mid, a left winger, and an off striker. Because you've kind of covered the two right wingers now where you've got Renewable in and Forrest. But with nobody on the left-hand side, what are you going to do, switch one of them out of the left and put them out of position?
And I know there's fans talking about Mikey Johnson. For me, I don't think he's going to make it Celtic full-time consistently. He's always injury-prone. When he plays, it's wee flashes, but it's never consistent. Will he take it to the next level? Me personally, no. But it's just my opinion. as you say, that side were very, very, very thin.
You can't build a team of youths. You can't. There's like a young boy Montgomery looks really good at left back. The young centre half, Hadj, Hedge, or whatever he's called, the Scandinavian boy, he looks apart. Big boy Murray looks the part, but that's only pre season, you know what I mean? Will they be the part maybe around a 10, 12 games? Because young boys form dips and you wouldn't want to see them getting into the team and then playing well and having a couple of bad games and people in their backs, because it's no fair in young boys, you know what I mean? They would need to really go on loan. Maybe one or two might break through this year, depending on the circumstances, but you can't build a team of young boys. It's not like Alex Ferguson with Man United in the 90s. The football doesn't give you time like that now.
No.
So, you know, it's that's what he's left with, a team of young boys in it. Edward obviously doesn't want to be there. Christie doesn't want to be there. Ayer didn't want to be there. And Cham didn't want to be there. They've not included him in the Champions League squad, even though they said last week he did want to. But I watched him against Bristol Road City, and I know it was only pre-season, but he's throwing about as if he was a superstar. Mm. And people were in their faces, and he didn't like it. To me, and Cham will never get it to the next level that he should be at, just because of his attitude.
No, definitely. That's a season where we can't have passengers like we did last season. Guys, I've always said, guys, Lightning Cham, who we all know his ability, but it's come to stage now, ability can only get you so much in any level of football. You've got to have, as you say, desire and attitude and everything else. Like, we all don't know what goes behind the scenes, but there's just a lot of things going wrong, and I just hope that we all eat our words and in the next few weeks everything turns around and we do qualify and it's all rosy again, but it's going to be a hard graft to get even through to this fucking third round, whatever it is, after Midtjylland. It's going to be a hard tie. People are all saying, see, I think I did tweet after the round, the draw. I was like, aye, that's a good draw we got. And then seeing me, I'm like, no matter who we get, it's still going to be a hard draw because the team is going to be weak. You're going to have a guy who, Ralston, again, no offence to boy, he's a professional football player, but he couldn't play for United and St Johnstone. So how can he come in and play with Celtic week in, week out? It just, that just can't happen. It's just, you can't go from playing Championship football to lower league in the SPL to then go and play in Champions League football and expect you to try and qualify. That's just, again, as you say, he's got his hands tied behind his back. He's only got one right back in the fucking team.
Mm-hmm.
That's not acceptable. They all knew when Neil Lennon left, they needed a right back because Frimpong left, O'Hanlon was away. They've had previously start of January to the new to identify a right back and have not signed one. But again, that's just bad scouting, mismanagement. I know you can go for players and they don't want to come, but you still have, as Williams always says, you've got a list. Where's the list of players? Where?
They've never really had lists of players and identified players, even managers. I don't think they had an our manager, bar Eddie Howe, I think. Andrew's pulled out the dark, to be honest with you. I don't think they did say they identified Ange, but if they identified Ange, they'd have went in the first place. I think it was stabbing the headlights or scrambling about, don't know what they're doing. And obviously somebody's came up with, oh, Ange Postecoglou, oh, let's look into him and, oh, we can get him cheaply. I mean, the boy for Japan that we've signed, it looks a good football player, aye. How long is it going to take for him to come out of Scotland? Quarantine and all this nonsense. It's been done 3 weeks ago for him to be available for this game. I don't get it, aye. I'm very baffled by it. We've needed a right back, a left back, centre half, and we've no go. I mean, every day you're linked with somebody, link, but doesn't it? Apart from the Japanese boy, and the obviously Israeli boy, they were kind of shots in the dark that nobody really knew about. Bang, went and got them. Mm-hmm. But that should be happening with four or five or six players because we're eight down for last season and now we're just got a team of young boys. Because if we get two or three injuries, we're already in a lot of shit, if you ask me. But I think if maybe, say, Sorrell gets injured, just say Barkas gets injured and Edward gets injured, you're going to be an absolute shit show. You're going to be absolute trouble. And it can happen. Don't say it can.
Listen, it happened last season with all these injuries and COVID and everything else. And we all still thought we'd have been all right. And it just shows that the strength and depth that we did have a few years ago. It's going down the peck order all the time now. As you say, it's all young boys. I think the thing that really annoyed me was the other day, and again, it shows, I think, my experience and having guys in your team that want to win and protect each other and fight each other. Reading Berry's tackle, the other night was horrendous, right? And hardly any of the players stood up and fucking protected him. But not fucking, what are you doing to that boy? Not, nobody done that. And people might think that's a silly thing, but as a team spirit, as soon as somebody in your team gets hit, you're fucking doing the neck of referee. What are you doing, you wee prick? What are you doing? But that, selling, don't have that anymore, too soft. And as you say, you had a ball point centre-half, it was physical, tough. It doesn't matter who you're playing against, if it's Rangers, Aberdeen, East Stirling, whatever. The first half an hour, the first 30 seconds, boom, gear guy won. But we're too soft. I'm not saying hurt a guy, but you've got to let guys know you're in a fucking game. We're Celtic, we're this. I think we're all, I know football's changed now.
I like Cam. See, to be honest, everybody's gone Cam McGregor. I don't think you should give it to anybody else in the team.
No.
There was nobody else. And I don't think Cal McGregor is going to be a Scott Brown. I like Cal McGregor as a player in that, but he's not a captain for me. But there's nobody else there to give the captaincy. That's the worrying thing. That's the very worrying thing at Celtic. There's nobody else that's going to be vocal in that team. And I think you've got to identify. I mean, we talk about it all the time, the Scandinavian leagues. There's players in there that are fucking cracking players at a great price, and we just don't seem to get into it enough. The market?
Not at all.
It's very, very strange. Ryan, we've identified loads of players for the A-Leagues. And I don't know, man, how Celtic Scout and Celtic as club can identify what we see, where we're lacking. You know what I mean? It's baffling. Very, very baffling.
And that's us only using YouTube and looking at players, and that's just us doing simple things. It's not like we've got any degrees in scouting. You're just looking through players, you're looking at football and thinking, hey, he'd suit us, maybe £2 million, get him in, sell him over for £10 million. We're just looking at that as a fan, so I understand
front you in that, so they'll have a lot better facts, and they'll have scouts that they can speak to in these countries that will say, oh, what do you think of him? Or, well, he's that, I've seen him live so many times, great player. It's baffling how we can identify players, but Celtic can't. And I'm not mean just us, I mean a lot of Celtic podcasts and people that speak about Celtic can go, what about that player? How can we not sign him? And you can roughly get their market value online as well. It's baffling. It's very, very baffling.
As you say, before we come on, we always fail to prepare. We always gamble. We don't prepare at all. We're preparing all the time for failure. It's all the time. You're just
feeling.
All the time, mate. And
nobody's asking Celtic to go out and buy a guy at £8 million as a right back and £8 million as a left back and a centre half at £12 million. Nobody's asking that. There's diamonds out there, as we spoke about, which I said last year. The wee boy Eli Dasa, he plays with Israel. You can get him for £1 million. He plays with Vitesse Aram in the Dutch league. And I looked at his stats just the other day. 30 games, 6 assists and 1 goal. And I thought, for £1 million at 28 years of age, it could be a stopgap to you build money up or you get money in. Just buy somebody like that, innit? Because he can do a job. He's good. He's good going forward and he's good defensively. And he'd be good for...
And he's got international experience, so...
And he's played in the Champions League with Maccabi Tel Aviv. You know what I mean? So, it's no... Like, he doesn't... You're just plucking somebody out for the wild. This is a guy who plays with Israel... It kept El Hamid at the Israel team, to be honest with you, when he plays with Israel. And he's plays in Europe. He's only in the Dutch league. And he's worth it. I think the market's about £1 million, £1.5 million. You can get him for. I mean, can you tell me he's no better than what we've got than now?
He's definitely better than Russian.
That's just one example I'm just hitting it with. You know what I mean?
It's every year's the same. And it's not, as you say, it's not just us that are talking about it. It's a lot of other fans and podcasts and forums, and it's just there's something. It's not us, what I keep saying as well. And Beav says it, even though we were successful under Rodgers, we still made some shambolic signings and shambolic decisions. We went to the game against his first game against the team Gibraltar, We went with a shocking side with Ambrose at the back, with Sifsky up front, with Young Boys came in with Yanko at right back, and you're like, what the fuck is this all about? Again, even a guy with Rodgers quality.
Well, on the board then, this is what I've left with. This is what I need to get. This is what you've given me. Is that maybe what Ange came out today and said the team's not fit enough yet? And I'm thinking, I know he wasn't there at the start of pre-season, but he's been there. Is there just, and they're all taking niggles and knocks. Is that probably because they're no fit? A lot of them are taking niggles and knocks because they can't keep up with his fitness regime. I don't know. This is, it's baffling, mate. Very, very baffling.
They've obviously got to look at maybe what they're doing, i.e. with the sports science or training programmes or what they're doing diet. There must be something. How can some professional players, someone be fit and then some not up to that level? They're all training the same routines, the same regimes, the same diets, maybe. I don't know what they're doing, but how can you not be fit? I don't understand that. Surely, this day and age, as me and Warren spoke last week, there are 365-day-a-year player. They're professionals, they should be fit. The others have a break. Have you a week break, 2 weeks break, but you should still be doing something every day to keep yourself ticking, yeah? You shouldn't be going to pre-season, no fit. This is 20 years ago down the border. You could
the home programmes and diet and everything's there, and they can get into Lennox Town 24/7 if they want. That's, you know what I mean? Or they can go to other gyms and personal trainers and everything they've got, really, everything they've got to succeed there in front of them. It's probably the determination and the willingness to do it.
It just shows as well, the guys come back for Euros, McGregor and Turbo, and that only go like 10 days, 2 weeks after back in training. So they should be flying. They should need a pre-season. Guys who are coming for Euros at any level, if it's Man United or Arsenal or Celtic, they should need a pre-season. They've just come in for Euros. They've trained every day at Euros, basically. And then they're coming off 2 week break, come back in. They should need a full pre-season, so they should be fat enough to start the Mora. But even the Mora, your team... What's that, mate?
What team would you go with?
I would even try a back three and try and no play Ralston and Taylor or Bolly. I would try and just play. See if it comes to it, play two Young Boys and beat on. If it's a boy Murray.
Actually, play that. What is your formation?
I don't even know, mate. See, because I've been trying to look at it, but I'm too busy to look at us, and I'm like, what are we going to do first? Because it's a full, you're crammed in with, as you say, young players. I would maybe see out of the left backs, I would honestly rather play the boy Montgomery than Taylor and Bolly. I generally would. I would give the boy a chance. I would give him a run of games.
That's the one position I would probably take a gamble in.
I would play him left back, the boy. He's come in and he's looked...
Just like, a half, I wouldn't maybe take a gamble in one of the young boys in there, just because a lot of responsibility in it. It's like, you can get away with a wee bit at left back because they've got centre halves to cover. If you're a centre half, you make a mistake, there's not much more to cover you, really. But I would go a 4-2-3-1, but a Yeti for me up on his own doesn't work.
No, I can't have it.
Also up there. Whether Edward can be asked playing tomorrow or wants to play, you've got to try and start him, in my opinion. But it all depends what sort of
mid-season. I'm like you. I know he might be kind of away, or he might want away or whatever, right? But we all know if Edouard's on the park, it's going to give Celtic an extra 10%, and it's going to give Mitchelland another 10% down because they know he's playing.
Yeah.
I'd like to think the Mitchelland defenders would be like a Yeti or Griffiths or a Young Boys playing up front. All right, okay, here we go. We'll get a goal. But if you see him playing right away, you're like, fuck. We've got him in it, so you've always got a chance, even though he might only be 50%. I'd rather 50% for as much as I'd like a Yeti, and I think he will come good this season under a better system, a better manager, and maybe a better winger to keep balls in the box. I think Edouard, some fans might say, oh, get me fucked, he's not happy, but he's still here, he's under contract, he's still a big part of the team. So for me, if it means getting us into one round better, then I think he's got to play.
He's, in my opinion, he's got to play. He's got. I would try and go for it at home. It might backfire, but I don't want to sit cautious and take a bit of a doing. I'd rather we went for the jugular, being the home side, and I think and only knows one style when it is to go for it. Whether the players can match what he's trying to get across to them, it's going to be hard because a lot of them haven't trained, a lot of them are unfit, a lot of them are know what to be there. It's a bit of a bad situation, but as you say, it shouldn't take much to get you up for a European game. And think this is a short window for Edward.
Mm-hmm.
He put and scores a double tomorrow. Punch might go, I've always looked at him, but he's hadn't done it in Europe and looks like he's got his form back. It could be the making him getting a deal somewhere where he wants to, maybe the English Premier League or the French League, whatever. Just might make somebody entice him a wee bit more to go and spend the cash on him. So it's a short window for him to put his sell out there.
Well, just that as well, you're saying at any level of football, for a big game like that, you shouldn't need to get up for it. Manager should need to get a team talk. That's just should be players yourself. That's where at Celtic for him, it only be a qualifier, but it's still a Champions League game. It's still a massive game, and it's still a massive game to put your CV. You're playing Europe, so it's still a big game to get up for. And as you say, Edouard, for me, the guy's fit. I think he will play anymore. I think if he's fit, he'll play. He has, no matter what anybody says, if you know what to be there, the guy has quality and he is going to go into better things, in my opinion. So just play him as long as he's here. I would play him because he's going to give you that extra 10% that maybe other players might not give you.
The fans don't make a difference anymore, I think. Just to have fun.
Definitely. Especially,
it should have been double that, but obviously we've not got that chance.
Definitely. Fans will be a big thing.
I think the players will get a lift after, you know what I mean, having fans back. I just hope we can get a result because earlier's got to be a tough ask and we're not really that great away from home in Europe, are we?
But the only thing I would say it's a bit of a godsend this year is I don't think there's any away goal rule. So if it did beat us 1-0, you don't need to panic as much because you can still go there score and still maybe take an extra time, whatever. So you know it's no panic right away. But you know with Celtic, especially if at home, they either concede in the first few minutes or they concede just before half time or just after or just to the last minute. They always concede at the same times all the time and it puts you under pressure right away. Aye, it's always or they defend for 85 minutes and then they get this fucking sucker punch at the end. They've hit the post, they've hit the bar, and then it's always the same story with Celtic. And even under Rodgers, when the team was a lot better, even he signed a few duds, you still get beat half shite in Europe. Aye, you might have beat decent teams, but you still get beat half shite. And it's just a thing with Celtic, even with O'Neill, people remember O'Neill getting to the UEFA Cup final and beating this and beating Juventus, but they still get beat off a shite who they should have been beating. Even the players get beat off shite away from home, fucking Basel and fucking other teams like that. So it's
Basel
just
what you're saying when you're
playing. Aye, but take me Basel. I'm trying teams who you should be beating, but like, teams like even Bedaila, teams like Malmo. You've got Johansson and fucking Johansson came out and saying, oh, we're Celtic, we're going to beat Mulder. And then Mulder's beating you 3-0 and all that. You're like, come on, you fuck. That's one thing I want us to.
Europe's a very dangerous place, but we have no set up for Europe. We never have been.
But what I keep saying as well. Like Muir says, we're a Europa League standard now, in my opinion. We strive to get to the Champions League, but with the money that we are paying for some players and the performances we're getting, for me, whatever Lawwell says, we're in an elite club. Aye, we might be an elite club, but we're no playing at an elite level anymore. We might get that. Sounds that.
We need to have players to get to the Champions League, and we have not got that. Right now, we are probably sitting on some of them are leaving Europa League players. That's the sad thing.
Now, this guy shouldn't be in the squad.
Yeah, so it's. Do you think there'll be a signing come in before 11 o'clock tonight?
Very, very doubt it. Can't see it at all.
Very, very quiet, innit?
And as no. Anne says today, it's a miracle card, not a wild card, so.
You would expect at least one, but right now I can't even see one come in, which is criminal, if you ask me.
As I say, We don't know much about how scouting works and transfers, but surely, as Anne said today, normal procedure. You like your player, you get him looked at, you get him there, you get him signed, you get a photo, and that's him signed and trained. Which how do you take 2 weeks to get a deal done? And he says, "Oh, some of his clubs it only takes a few days." Is it the agents that we're dealing with that don't do things quick enough? Or is it what is it? It's a hold up because as much as we don't talk about Rangers signed that boy. Pre-contract, the young boy, the can't remember the guy's Faye Holland or something, signed him. He's come in. They've got a guy for Sheffield United, he's signed him. He's in, but their guys are going to come in and play. We're signing projects again all the time, and that's what me and you spoke about. We need more experience, especially at the back, because I know Julian's injured. But who else have you got? You've got Beaton, but he's no a centre back. Taylor's, I've always said again, for me, Taylor's a command up player playing with Celtic, ball and goalie. No good enough. I thought he might have come in and been all right, but I just can't see him playing either. So you're spending more money in two left backs who only going to take you to the next level. So what is happening at that upstairs? What is happening when it comes to that transfer recruitment? You're spending, was it 3 million Taylor and 3 million ball and goalie? Come on, fuck. The 2 million.
3.1 million in ball and goal, and then you spent 2 million in Laxalt in a loan deal for AC Milan. And we could have got Bert Mellin, the wee boy for Rosenborg.
If I'm all
I'm
or
not
something.
saying he'd have been better, but every time he played against us, he was good. And saying, like, we've identified him and never signed him again. Probably one of the ones he made an arse of it again. You know what I mean?
But I think the more as well is the midfield should be again. I think the boy Shaw's been looking okay, but against pre-season, isn't it? I try and notate a lot for pre-season. I just like to see, obviously, the qualifiers and judge for there, but he's been settling in
He's
all
tough
right.
enough, isn't he? He's
So again, will he play tomorrow or will he just go with McGregor, Sorrow and Tumble? Because for me, Tumble's got to play. The guy's going to, if he's got any chance of doing anything, I think he's going to play every
He's
week.
had a bit of pre-season, hasn't he? He's not been playing him behind the striker as such.
But I like the fact he's playing McGregor a bit forward, and you can see right away McGregor's got a freedom now. And it's last season, I think he was covering Brown too much. And I think because Brown's not there, get a license now, he can I do what he wants and that freedom.
Well, I can't expect the thing might be sitting aside him Tumble to make the tackles.
No.
That's only
I'd rather see McGregor and Sorrow as well. I think Sorrow is a good player, right? But like I says to like was it Paul or Ross on one of our podcasts the other night, as much as Ntcham might be an absolute idiot when it comes to his attitude. If I had the choice, who'd I have? I'd rather have Ntcham playing because I think Sorrow's a loose cannon sometimes. I think he's a bit of a headless chicken sometimes. But Ntcham's at the window, the looks it. So I think the three will be Tumble,
I
Sorrow, and
think
McGregor.
Sorrow was good last season, and then Celtic took him out and put Brown back in, and I thought, I don't think the guy deserved to be dropped, and that was just my opinion. But I don't know if he's going to be consistent and play a full season for us.
But again, you're talking about
Maybe
Brown. That was mismanagement for Lennon again last year. You can't play a guy at 35-year-old, whatever it is, 30-year-old game this season again. You can't do that.
I know it's baffling.
And like you said, you had Sumble and Toro sitting the bench, Sorrow and Tumble sitting on the bench, and you're playing a guy at 35 who, let's be fair, even I've said it to my dad as well. Aye, every week. And he's got to Aberdeen and now he's a captain. But will Scott Brown be that? I don't think Scott Brown will be a threat anymore. I don't think he's going to beat the level, was it? So, you might be a tough nut to crack playing against him, but I don't think he's going to be a threat against Celtic. So, I think maybe it is a right decision he went. But the fact that he played all season the other two guys was criminal. For me, it was totally. I'm not saying we'd have won the league through it, but it would have gave you a better chance of doing something because we all know Brown was an absolutely fantastic player for Celtic. What he'd done for us was unbelievable, and I would never ever give the guy any jip. But the manager shouldn't be playing a guy like that. When his legs were gone, 30-odd game this season. This shouldn't have happened.
But then Kennedy played him as well, didn't he? So it wasn't just Lennon as such, you know what I mean? But the less we talk about the better.
But and the more I have on me, it's the team selections are. I think the midfield's maybe a set on stone, but when it comes to the three, but.
They've
Even
surely got to register this as Israeli boy tonight.
Surely, and play him. You're piping £500,000 for him. Don't play him.
I don't know if they were holding him out the squad to see if they go to somebody in or somebody out to cut up others in, but it's now looking like they're not getting anybody in. So
it's just, and like you say, you've got Krivis is back in the squad, Ayeti, Edwards, so you've got Rayfree. I think if Edwards fit, I think he'll play. Don't know if Forrest will be fit to play. He's back training today, but will he play? We don't know. The team selection, this is maybe the first time in a long time I really don't know what a team lineup will be. I really don't know. It's for a long time, I know even last season we had wee doubts of who we'd play, but I think maybe don't. If Barkas is fit, I think Barkas plays. Sorrow, Tumble, McGregor. Apart from that, I don't really know who else is going to play. It's just a pure puzzle. It's a pure maze of who, and I think you can see that with the manager's presses.
It's very how bad we were last season, and this season we don't even have as good a squad. No. That's the worrying part for me, then. Very worrying that we were 25 points off it last season, an absolute embarrassing in Europe, and the board haven't reacted the way they should have. They've just kind of pushing a line, an odd signing here, and I mean, they've signed a couple of players, but they really needed to be hammering tongs in it and having 5, 6, and 7 players in, because we're 8 right for last season.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying the players that left were good, but a lot better than what we've got to now. And it's just a squad of young boys. You can't expect young boys to come in and become men all night. It's not going to happen. And the worrying thing is the league's only around the corner. First league game's the 31st of July, is it?
Aye, Hearts, isn't it? And that'll be a shock as well for some of the players and new boys.
I know
it might not be a full capacity at Tynecastle, but Tynecastle was a hard place to go and win. Not years ago, you used to go there and win 3-4-0, but nowadays it's a hard task to go in there and win.
They're a physical team, aren't they? They're going to be they done to us in the cup.
Nah.
And they'll be a better team than they were in that cup final. And we're a worse team, so
it's going to be a tough 10 days for the manager to get players in, and
it's a manager, because he's got everyone that's got to take the can.
But that's one thing, I don't want fans, anybody who's listening, and other podcasts I think have said the same, and nobody can give the manager jip for this. The manager's, it's not the manager's fault. He can only do so much. He can only do so much with the squad he's been given, the resources he's been given, the players will carry a bit of the can, but it's all down to the top end of the club, and they've no dealt with the recruitment side yet. They've no got the players and the manager in quick enough. The Eddie Howe was only a saga because the club made it a saga. The club didn't deal with it. They rested their laurels. Aye, right, he's coming. No, he didn't come. Like, fuck, who are we going to go now? The board have just let
Where is Dermot?
No, heard nothing from Robert. He was playing golf with fucking Rory McIlroy. And yet, he's one of the biggest shareholders in Celtic. His club's no doing very well, and about a shake-up, and he's playing golf. So, what is your interest? Is it golf? Is it Man United? Is it Celtic? Surely this is when he's got to say, right, I'm the main man. There's 25 million, whatever it is. Go and get us back to the top. Surely that's, as an owner, if you've an interest in your club. Obviously, I don't know what happens behind the scenes, what money they put in, right, but they know they're going to get money for hire. They might get a few million for Christie. If the charm goes, you might get a few million. You know these guys are going to go, so go in and give us another 10, 15 million on top of that and go and get us back to that. Because as I've said to other guys in the podcast, Rangers aren't going to improve massively. They're not going to improve massively because the players aren't good enough to go better. That's their squad. They know where their squad is. They'll fight for the manager. They can't afford to go and spend. You might say you have a £7 million, but we all know it's not that. It'll be all fucking everything else. So we all know that they're going to have really about the same squad, the same players, most of the season, the same 4-3-3. They might change it up. I've seen Gerrard might change it up. So that's down to us to retaliate. And the only reason to retaliate is they're buying players, buying better quality players. And we're buying projects. I'm not saying the boy Liam Shaw looks like a mate to man and play, right? But the young boy for Sheffield Wednesday, he looks like a unit, but he might take 2 years to come up and step up again. And we can't keep doing that. I know the boy Montgomery, he looks decent. But as you say, Robert, these guys are no Kieran Tierneys. They're no fucking McGiddies. I was just going to come in and play right away.
I know.
These guys need time to develop, and the way we are now, we can't have time to develop players. We've got to get them in and win this league next year and qualify for Europe.
It was a lot of international players, and you fling one or two in just to test the water. Like they done with McGeady and they done with Tierney. They had good players running about them that could manage them through games. There's not many players in that team that you could say could manage any young boys through that.
Probably McGregor, maybe hit us about hitting it. He's been there and done it. That's probably it.
Then, but Ayers no there.
That's probably hitting it, McGregor.
Aye.
Big Julian could maybe lend a hand, but he's no fit. So it's a bit of I just hope we can get a result. And even if it's a 1-0 win, it'll give a lift. It'll give something.
Yep.
Because I just think that it's. Even up front, you've got Griffiths, but obviously what's happened to him, he's come in. Will he be fit to start? Will he be fit to play? Will he be involved? Ayeti, will he start? He's been starting most of the games. Eduard, I think if he's fit, he'll play. But you've got so many options of who to play and who not to play. You just don't know what the fuck's who's going to be lining up. It's just a total shambles.
Isn't it? It's like, I don't know, I hope... I'm shocked that there's a player being brought in and he's ready to go. But even if a player's brought in, he needs to be brought in for a green last country, because if he's not, he needs to quarantine for 10 days or something. Again, it's just baffling. See, if we identify the Japanese market, why not go and sign 2 or 3 players if that's what he wanted today? And then they can all quarantine at the same time and then they're all ready to go.
But see, that's you thinking about that. And you,
well, like that.
But as you think about that, right? And we're no managers, we're no scouts, we're no fucking board members, and that's just a fan, and you know that as a fan, that's what should happen. So how can they not suggest that?
No, it's just maybe I don't know, he's only getting so much to spend and he has to spend it wisely. It doesn't make sense.
But as I say, tomorrow, what's your prediction? Do you think we'll get a result?
My heart says I'd love us to get a result. My head says I don't know. I think it'll be very, very difficult to beat them. I think they'll come and play maybe for a draw. I don't know. I've not watched a lot of Mitchell, and I read about last season, how they were a good outfit, and we drew them in the qualifying. But they have got a lot of issues themselves. 3 or 4 of their players either injured, know what to play, or want to move away. So, what sort of team are they going to put it?
As you say, you just hope it's a blessing in disguise that they've had a few guys know what to play and injuries, and it kind of accounts for is that. I want to say I'm confident, but I think we might get a 1-0 win. I just hope it surprises, and we might see, because the fans, we might actually see somebody. The fat body he's trying to bring in. Again, we could get a shock. For me, it's just an absolute up in the air. Don't know what to think. I just hope we can get a decent result to give a bit of positivity against the game against Hearts as well. I know we've got our pre-season game and the game against Mitchell on today again, but I just hope we get something to give us a bit of positivity, because as it stands now, it's all negative again and we don't want that.
Aye, we're West Ham on Saturday, haven't we, at home? I just hope to God we don't take a heavy defeat, because I think a lot of the young boys would get into their shells if you were getting a bit of doing, and I don't know, it's just, what is the board waiting on to make signings? I don't know what the hold-up is, because there's obviously needs to be players signed in a lot of positions, and the manager's more or less now telling you in the press that he's not happy with the squad he's got. So how much longer are the board going to let it go before we make these signings to improve us as a club, as a team?
And obviously, as you say, about young boys, got a question for the live stream, Robert, but obviously the coach team, the B team, obviously there's... Do you think someone could maybe step up? I kind of watched the highlights, and they do look like wee boys. They do look like 16, 17, 18 year old boys. So I think as it stands now, me personally, I don't think we've seen it last season after Dubai, when that Okoflex and Harper and that came in, and you've seen the difference for that to the McGregors and the Edwards and the step up.
Looks big. I don't feel that any of them are really ready. The boy they signed for Watford's meant to be a real cracker. He scored the goal, I've seen the highlights. Looks a big bit of a unit, but as you say, this league is there to test these boys to see if they've got mentality or the physicalness to cope with coming up to the first team. And I wouldn't say, unless there's something exceptional, I wouldn't let them. I'd keep them in there for the season. That would have been a learning curve for them, getting beat, obviously, their first game, and playing against seasoned pros and tough guys. It's only going to make them better, and it's what we've asked for till October last year.
That's what we've spoken about in this as well, about the Colts League and Reserve League's got to get back in and to give these guys a bit of competitive football. It's already gone on loan, but I watched Tommy McIntyre's interview the other day, and even he was saying, he says it's all right sending players out on loan, but if these players are going out on loan and no playing, what's the point? They're getting put on loan when instructions, they're not getting told to play, but they're expected to play because you're leaving yourself to go to Dunfermline or whatever it is, Thistle. But if they're playing the Colts League, at least they're playing football. They're playing, as you said, against season pros. They're getting toughened up, and I think it's not going to benefit some of these players. And like Tommy McIntyre says, you hope that some of these boys go up to the first team, don't come back down, because at least he's doing his job right, because it's some sort of development that's coming through that league.
I think Bonnie Rigros are one of the better teams in the league, to be fair. I don't think, obviously, as good a team as that every week, but it's a total learning curve for them, as you say. It's just to be playing, and that was, they had a crowd and everything there, you know what I mean? So it will be tough for them, but it will separate the boys from the men, as I say.
As I say, mate, I just hope they can obviously progress and we get 2 or 3 wee gen for youth team. And the last note for tomorrow, I just hope we get a decent result, and I don't want us to get a doing or get a bad result, because it will just put more pressure on the manager, and it's not pressure the manager needs, because he's got enough pressure on his back, you know.
Aye, definitely. The board have got to definitely get in help with it, and Dermot Desmond needs to get a fucking golf course and go on to dealing with the club, because he's eating the fucking bunkers, I think. Because he was the one that says, oh, I'll never let this happen again, I'll never let that happen again. Well, for me, he's been very silent in the full matter.
Well, it's, as you say, now it's time for his shareholder to put his kind of proof in the pudding and get us out where we are. Again, the last few bit as well, anybody's watching the live stream, but listen, we've got a charity game next Sunday for cancer. It's my pal Sean and his dad Alex's dad passed away a few years ago for cancer. The game's at St Anthony's, 12 o'clock kickoff. Anybody's bored, kind of fancy wee game, any donations welcome. Again, hopefully we'll raise some money for a good cause and hopefully sell to get a result tomorrow. But again, Robert, thanks for your time, mate, and take care.
Cheers, Ryan, thanks.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. To fly.